weeks ago, on the 5th of June, Ascension Sunday, I concluded my sermon by telling you a mythical story as told by Erasmus. Some of you will remember the story, some of you may not have been here, but the story went like this. After his ascension into heaven, angels surrounded the Lord Jesus Christ and began to ask him about his work on earth. And Jesus told them about his birth and his life and his preaching, told them about his death and resurrection, and how he had accomplished the salvation of the whole world. Gabriel was perplexed, and he asked, "Well, now that you're back in heaven, who will continue your work on earth?" And Jesus said, "Well, while I was on earth, I gathered a group of people around me, and they believed in me, and they loved me, and they will continue to spread the gospel." And according to this mythical story, Gabriel said, "You mean Peter, who denied you three times, and all the rest who ran away when you were crucified? You mean to tell me that you left them to carry on your work? And what will you do if this plan doesn't work?" And according to this mythical story, then Jesus said, "I have no other plan." Today, we want to consider that plan in more detail. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you," said Jesus. I want you to see in that last part there of verse 21 here in John 20, that first of all, the Father sent the Son. The Father sent the Son. Jesus said, "My Father has sent me." And we see a number of Bible verses that point out the truth of that, that the Father has sent the Son and sent him with a special purpose, sent him for a special reason. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14 we read, "The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." The Father sent the Son, but he sent him for a specific purpose, to be the Savior of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself refers to that in a verse like Matthew 20, verse 28, where Jesus said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So he said, "I came into this world, the Father sent me to minister, to give my life a ransom for many. I came to die on the cross for your sins." And then the Lord Jesus Christ also said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." And we're all lost because of our sins. Lost, condemned to spend an eternity in hell because of our sins. But that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. The Father sent him to be the Savior of the world, sent him to save that which was lost. He came to save us, you and me. And so the Father sent the Son. And Jesus says, "My Father has sent me." Now, we need to look at that word sent just a little bit more. The Greek verb that is used here is the word apostello. There's your Greek lesson for today, part one. All right? So, apostello, this is the root from which we get the word. You pretty well know that immediately. The word apostle. So, apostle comes from that. So, if apostello means to send, apostle means one who is sent. An apostle is one who is sent forth as a messenger. We might contrast that, by the way, with a disciple, because the disciple is a student who learns from a teacher. So we have the disciples of our Lord. Well, they were his students. They learned from him. But then the apostles are the ones that were sent forth. But apostello, if you look at that word and compare it with other words for to send, because Greek does have several words that are translated send, we see that apostello means to send on a special commission, to send with a special task, a special commission. That's what we see. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's why he sent him. So it refers then to the Father sending the Son to die on the cross for our sins. So that is the idea there when Jesus said, as my Father has sent me. The Father sent me, says Jesus, to give my life. He gave me that special commission to give my life on Calvary for the sins of the world. So that is the first part here of that verse, you know, as my Father has sent me. But then Jesus goes on to say, even so sent I you. So the Father sent the Son, and then in turn the Son sent his disciples. Jesus said, even so sent I you. Sometimes to describe that, we use the term the Great Commission. The Great Commission. The Father gave a commission to the Son. And now the Son gives a commission to his disciples, to his apostles. The Great Commission, which is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. It's found in all four Gospels and the book of Acts, which is very unusual because some events are mentioned in only one of the Gospels. You know, a few are mentioned, two, three. Very few are mentioned in all four Gospels. The account of the death and resurrection of Christ is mentioned in all four. The feeding of the 5,000 is mentioned in all four Gospels. And the Great Commission is given in all four Gospels and is also given in the book of Acts. And just to refer to these references, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, and the word power there means authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So that is the Great Commission as given by Matthew. Mark's is much shorter. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But again, the commission is there. When Jesus says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Those were the words that he spoke to his disciples. In Luke's gospel, in Luke 24, verses 45 to 48, he said this, and opened ye their understanding. This is speaking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Then opened ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You see that? Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's the Great Commission. So he gave it to Luke as well. Well, John's version you already know, because that's John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. And then we see it in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Verses that you are all familiar with. You've all heard them before. But it is good sometimes to be reminded of that, how the Lord Jesus Christ gave that commission to his disciples, as he said, even so sent I you. He sent his disciples. But, interestingly, as he said, as my Father has sent me, even so sent I you, he used a different word for sent, the word tempo, as your second Greek lesson for today. So the Greek verb there is tempo, and that is the common ordinary word for sending. And whereas apostello is to send with a commission, tempo means to send on a mission. And tempo stresses the authority of the speaker. And it also stresses the obedience of the one who is being spoken to, in other words, the one who is being sent. So our Lord said, as my Father has sent me with a special commission to come to this earth, to give my life on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world, now I send you, my followers, on a mission. It's different. Because Jesus came to die on the cross. We don't go to die on the cross. But what he wants us to do is to go out and preach that message that Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day. He wants to his disciples to take that message to the ends of the earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Repent and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Ye are to go, he said to his disciples, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, to take that message of my life, my death, my resurrection, my ascension, my coming again. Take that message and proclaim it to the very ends of the earth. So there's a distinction in these two words. As the Father sent the Son, apostello, the Son sent his disciples, tempo. Two different verbs with two different meanings. And we might ask, by the way, did the disciples really go into all the world? Well, let me very quickly run through this with you. Alright, this is a list of the 12 disciples. I will mention Judas Iscariot. We know that he was buried, you know, he committed suicide, was buried in Jerusalem there, or outside Jerusalem, I should say. But from the other 11, according to tradition, we know where 7 of them were buried. And I want to share that with you so you get an idea as to where they went. Now, this is according to tradition. Please note, this is not in the Bible. All right? The Bible is infallible. Traditions can be wrong. All right? But according to tradition, Peter was crucified upside down in Rome, roughly the year 64 AD. All right? So if this is true, Peter went to Rome. I want you to see how they traveled. James, the son of Zebedee, one of the two sons of thunder, was beheaded in the year 44 AD. He was the first of the 12 disciples to die. Well, I guess Judas Iscariot really would be the first of the 12. He was the first one apart from that. And it is claimed that he was buried in Spain. All right? Now, if he was buried in Spain, that's a long way from Jerusalem. Okay? Now, his brother was John, the other son of thunder. James and John were brothers. John is believed to have died of natural causes due to old age. All right? It was probably pretty near 100 when he died. And I think some of you know and have seen his, supposedly, the tomb in Ephesus, present-day Turkey. All right? So if you go there today to the archaeological archaeological site in Ephesus, they will show you there, you know, here is where John the Apostle is buried. Well, we do know that he went to Ephesus. We do know that he went to Patmos. So that would be present-day Turkey. Well, we mentioned Peter. What about his brother, Andrew? Andrew was crucified, according to tradition, upon an X-shaped cross, and he was buried in Greece. Philip, crucified the year 54 AD, buried in Turkey, Hierapolis. And again, those of you that went on the Greece-Turkey trip will remember how we stopped by Hierapolis. All right, it was near Laodicea. Hierapolis was the place where they had these white cliffs and, you know, that where they had the warm springs. That was Hierapolis. Bartholomew was flayed alive. That means he was skinned alive and then beheaded, buried, according to tradition, in Turkey. Matthew was killed by an axe about the year 60 AD. Thomas, killed by a spear in Madras, India, AD 72. Of course, in India, we have the Mar Thoma Church, and particularly in Kerala, where the Mar Thoma Church has its headquarters there. So that was Thomas in India. James, the son of Alphaeus, beaten to death with a club after being crucified in stones. Jude was crucified. Simon the Zealot, as he is sometimes known, was crucified. And then the last one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, where we know he hanged himself after betraying Jesus. I just ran through that list very quickly, and I know that it is tradition, but still it gives us some idea. What on earth did Turkey, Greece, Rome, Spain, in other words, and of course Thomas to India. He went the other direction. So some went west, Thomas at least went east. But you see, they took these words of Jesus seriously, and they started traveling around. But then, I want to look at one further consideration here, because you see that the Father sent the Son. The Son sent his 12 disciples. But then, we see that the disciples were faithful men, who in turn sent others also. And the key verse that we see for that, and I think this is one of the key verses in the Bible for this, is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What you see in this one verse is four generations of believers. The Apostle Paul is the speaker, and the recipient, well, is Timothy. We know that. So Paul says, Timothy, the things that you have heard of me. So the first generation is Paul. The second generation of believers then would be Timothy. The things, Timothy, that you have heard of me. And maybe sometime we'll look at that particular verse in great detail. But there's many things that Timothy heard from Paul. Paul led him to the Lord. Paul calls Timothy my own son in the faith. So that would be indicative that Paul led him to the Lord. And if you look at 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul taught him how to pray. Paul taught him how to preach. You know, many of these things that Paul taught Timothy. So Paul now says, Timothy, the things that you have learned of me, I want you to take these same things and commit them to a third generation of believers. I want you to commit them to faithful men. And then in turn, these faithful men are to teach a fourth generation of believers. They are to teach others also. So Paul, Timothy, faithful men, and others. Four generations of believers in one verse. A verse that shows us how the faith is to be passed on from one generation to the next. And you know, the gospel will die out in not much more than one generation, if the gospel is not passed on from faithful men to others. Now, this has actually happened in China. I know many of you have a Chinese background, and you may not be aware of this. But back in the 7th century, there were missionaries from Europe. They are called the Nestorian missionaries. All right? That's the name. They were followers of Nestorius. Nestorius was wrong on certain points in his theology, but this is not a church history lecture, so we're not going to worry about that part of it. But the Nestorian missionaries, the followers of Nestorius, took the gospel as far as China, possibly even Japan. But we know for sure that they took the gospel to China. One person who has researched this was a man by the name of J. Gordon Holdcroft. Dr. Holdcroft was a missionary who spent many years in Korea, but he was also able to spend some time in China to research this. He wrote a book about his research and his work. The book is entitled Into All the World. And there he documents very clearly that this happens. You can even go today to Encyclopedia Britannica, and you can look up Nestorian missionaries, and it will tell you the same thing, that Nestorian missionaries went to China in the 7th century. And so as early as the 7th century, China had the gospel. But what happened is this. Christianity died out in just a very short time. So that when people like Hudson Taylor, Morrison, William Chalmers Burns, when they went to China in the 19th century, they really found no Christians there. Now when they started looking, then they did find some of the evidence. Christian tombs, ruins of churches, these things were found and were proof that the gospel was there in the early days. But it died out. Dr. Holdcroft said this, the Nestorian church sinned against itself, sinned against the people it sought to serve, and sinned against God by not carefully, fully, constantly training the children of Christian families in the gospel. This mistake is akin to the one which we have mentioned of not educating its whole constituency in the Bible. That's the end of the quote by Dr. Holdcroft. So what Dr. Holdcroft is saying, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 was not carried out by the believers in China back in the 7th century. And that's why in a little more than one generation, Christianity died out in China. It was there, but China lost it because they did not carry on. There should have been faithful people who taught others also. But the parents, he said, did not teach their children. The churches did not teach their constituency, the word that he used here, you know, of not educating its whole constituency in the Bible. He would probably say today they should have started the Bible Institute, but they didn't. And that's one reason why we have started the Bible Institute here. Because we realize that need. We need to pass it on from one generation to the next. But if you don't, the gospel will die out in roughly one generation. 25, 30, 50 years, and there'll be no more Christians left. That's why Jesus said the Father sent me. He sent the apostles. Now they, faithful men, should teach others also, as Paul told Timothy. So what we need today is faithful men who are able to teach others also. As I said, that's why we started a Bible Institute, because we realized that need. What's going to happen 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now? Humanly speaking, chances are that 20 years from now, I will not be around. All right? But it's very simple. I'll be 70 next year. So 20 years from now, I'll be pushing 90, if I'm still alive. You know? And even if I am still alive, would I still be able to preach? Well, that's up to the Lord. Okay? That's up to the Lord. But let's be realistic. We need to train a new generation of believers. That's why it's important for you also to take your gospel tracts. You know, we discussed recently in the session, and we said we need to order more tracts. So they have just arrived. Another more than 800 gospel tracts. 200 of the Good News, 200 of the Your Special, and 400 Christmas tracts. I know Christmas has still a little ways to go. But if we don't order them now, we'll probably forget to order them in time for Christmas. So they're here. So we have Easter tracts, we have Christmas tracts, we have these tracts. You know what? Here's a tract. Would you like to know more about the Bible? You know where that came from? Somebody who came knocking on our door. I was in my study working. My wife went to answer the door, and she came over and said, "Guess what I just got?" I said, "Oh, that looks familiar by just looking at the front." And turned it over. All Bible quotations are from the New World Translation, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. If you don't know yet, Jehovah's Witnesses. Alright? The New World Translation is a bad translation of the Bible, but the JWs have made their own Bible translation to prove their points. It's a bad translation. If somebody gives it to you, don't bother to accept it or read it. So anytime you see Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, you know this is a cult. So you know what my wife did? She gave them one of the Your Special ones. You know, you do that. They may accept, they may not accept, but they'll disappear very quickly. All right? So if you want to get rid of them, the best thing to do is to give them a tract. All right? But take some. Now, some of them still need to be chopped without church chop. All right? So like I say, we just got to the shipment, so we need to still chop them. Alright? Maybe that's a job for somebody who likes to volunteer, who's good in chopping. Alright? So, but we need that. Let's use them. Because this is how, again, we can go on from one generation to the next. You know, very often. You're here, you're there, have a cup of coffee, have dinner, give out a gospel tract. You know, it's so easy to do that. But all that is part, you know, of faithful men teaching others also. You can do that. You know, even if you're not a Bible Institute student, you can still carry on the gospel in this way. You know, but what do we see instead of that? Sadly, is really an emphasis on materialism, an emphasis on comfort, and an emphasis on social events rather than on the spiritual, rather than on the Lord, and rather than on the Word of God. That's the contrast we see. I was talking to one person not too long ago, and he told me, it's a Chinese person, by the way, and he said, lunch at church is the highlight of the day for many Chinese. And then he said the church is the social interaction point for many Chinese. Is all there is to the church social? I hope not. Well, you remember Singapore's practice for simple living. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know that. One wife, 2 children, 3-room flat, 4 wheels. 5-figure bank account. Then, of course, the Singaporeans went to 5 C's. you know, car, condo, credit card, cash. And the last one, there's a little difference of opinion. Some say career, some say country club membership. Well, you have your choice. Now I understand it's five B's. BMW. Incidentally, if you should happen to drive a BMW, I'm not picking on you, okay? I'm just stating this here. BMW, body, brain, billionaire, and bungalow. A variation of that would work something like this. Not a car, but a BMW. Not a condo, but a bungalow. Not a credit card, but a billionaire. Not cash, but bank. That means I want to own the bank. And not career, but boss. I want to be the boss. So from five C's, we've gone to five B's. But is it any wonder, with an emphasis like this, that fewer Christian young people are giving their lives for full-time Christian service? Become a pastor, I'll never be rich. I'll never be a billionaire being a pastor. As a matter of fact, being a pastor, I'll never even be a millionaire. So I don't want to be a pastor. Parents? Oh. My kids aren't good enough to go to uni. I suppose they can go to Bible college. You know, that's like the last resort kind of a thing. You know. But I've seen that attitude. I've had one parent tell me, not here in Australia, this happened in Singapore. Please tell my daughter not to become a missionary. But I'm the wrong person to ask that for, I guarantee you that. But I had one parent tell me, please tell my daughter, I don't want her to become a missionary. She did anyway. Thank God she did. Because we must obey God rather than... But you know, I've noticed, today there are fewer people willing to go into Bible schools. Whether it be Bible college or seminary, the attendance is dropping. Fewer people are willing to give their lives to serve the Lord full time. And part of that is that emphasis on materialism, that emphasis on comfort, got to be comfortable, you know, and the emphasis on the social rather than the spiritual. So you have people, you know, oh yes, I'll be a pastor. I get invited by a lot of different people for dinner. I enjoy that, you know. And can have my come here, my come there, you know. Yeah, I'll enjoy that. Can have refreshments, you know. Go visit some little old ladies and they all serve me a nice afternoon high tea. That's not the way it ought to be. You know, as I was researching for this, I came across five other C's. A lady by the name of Catherine Lim in Singapore. I don't know if any of you know her or not. She's apparently a writer, a columnist, or something like that. But she listed five other C's: caring, concern, compassion, courteousness, and civility. Caring, concern, compassion, courteousness. I'd probably just say courtesy, but you know, that's all right. Civility. Are we civil? You know, polite in our dealings with other people. Listen to the story of Margaret Clarkson. Edith Margaret Clarkson. She didn't like to eat it, so she's always gone by Margaret Clarkson. She was born in Saskatchewan, Canada, in 1915. When she was young, her family moved over to Toronto, and she studied in Toronto to become a school teacher. And jobs were so scarce that she couldn't find any jobs in Toronto itself, and she had to spend 7 years in the far north of Ontario. First, she must spend some time in a lumber camp, and then in a gold mining area. And then after spending these 7 years there, she returned to Toronto to teach school for 31 years. She retired in 1973, and she went to be with the Lord in 2008. Now she writes, "In the North, I experienced deep loneliness of every kind, mental, cultural, and particularly spiritual. I found no Bible teaching church fellowship and only one or two isolated Christians in those years. Studying the words one night and thinking of the loneliness of my situation, I came to John 20 and the words, 'So send I you.' Because of a physical disability, I could never go to the mission field," she writes, "and this was where he had sent me. I have written verse all my life, so it was natural for me to express my thoughts in a poem. The words of the hymn, 'So Send I You.'" And she wrote the text of the hymn, "So Send I You," when she was 22 years old. Sometimes this is called the finest missionary hymn of the 20th century. Margaret Carson goes on to write, "Some years later, I realized that the poem was really very one-sided. It told only of the sorrows and privations of the missionary call, and none of its triumphs. I wrote another song in the same rhythm, so that verses could be used interchangeably, setting forth the glory and the hope of the missionary calling. This was published in 1963. Above all, I wish to be a biblical writer," she says, "and the second hymn is the more biblical one." Now our closing hymn today is going to be the hymn, "So Send I You." I put it as an insert in our church bulletin. It's hymn number 416 in our hymn book. But I put it in there because the one that you see in the hymn book here, that is "So Send I You" number one, is the one that she wrote when she was up north. And it's all about laboring unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown. Who wants to be a missionary? Who wants to be a pastor when I'm not getting paid, when nobody loves me, you know? Have to bear the burdens of a world the weary, to die to dear desire, self-will, to labor long and love where men revile you. Who wants to be a pastor? It's so, in a sense, negative. But then, the other one, "So send I you, by grace made strong to triumph o'er hosts of hell, our darkness, death, and sin, my name to bear, in that name to conquer, so send I you my victory to win. So send I you to bear my cross with patience, and then one day with joy to lay it down, to hear my voice, the Lord's voice, 'Well done, my faithful servant. Come, share my throne, my kingdom, and my crown.'" What a difference in the two. So I propose we sing the, and not quite yet, Wendy, still have a couple minutes to go before we come to that. I want to say a few more things. But we're going to sing the first and the last verse of both. You know, the one has five stanzas, the other one four. I don't want you to suffer through nine verses. That's a little bit much to sing. So we'll sing the first and last in both cases, on both sides of the insert there. All right? And think about it. There may be hardships in serving the Lord, but there are also many, many blessings in serving the Lord. And I want you to think about what we have said, and as we have talked about these words, As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. And then these words from Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And if the Lord is speaking to you tonight, come, give your life to serve him full time. I'm especially speaking to some of you younger ones, but not limited to that. I know people that have retired early so they could serve the Lord full time. Think of the words of a little chorus. Maybe we should have sung that for closing, but I'll share the words with you. I've never been sorry I heeded God's call. I've never been sorry I yielded my all. My walk with the Master grows sweeter each day. I've never been sorry one step of the way. When you give your life to serve the Lord full time, you'll never be sorry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we think of these words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so send I you. Lord, may we look into our own lives, our own hearts. Are we caught up in materialism, comforts, social events rather than the spiritual, the Lord, the Word of God? Oh Lord, help us to put the spiritual things first. May our attention be on things above, not on things on the earth. Lord, it is my prayer that you would touch the heart of one or maybe two or even more here today that would be willing to say, Lord, here am I. I realize that far and near the fields are teeming with the graves of white and green. Lord, I see that need. And Lord, I am willing, with your help, by your grace, to do something about it. And Lord, I know that when I serve you, I will never be sorry. Lord, touch our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand then and sing, So Send I You.